For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
Take our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 4, the book of Luke chapter 4. Verse number 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. The Synoptic of Matthew puts it this way. Jesus was led up of the Spirit, He was led up of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. My question is, why is this event in the life of Christ chronicled for us? Why did God put this chapter of his life in the Bible? And we know all of them aren't. John says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And so the question why, none of us, even the first time in reading this, wondered whether Christ would collapse under the temptation, or whether Christ would conquer, whether Christ would fall flat, or whether Christ would soar high. I think we need to frame our understanding of this text with the verse, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil." God cannot be tempted with evil. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And so we get the fact that he never has sinned, never did sin, never will sin. We're not on the edge of our seat wondering, is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? And the angels didn't hush their praise and fold their wings. Boy, is he going to get wobbly, the King of Kings, or not? He's absolutely holy. He's impeccably perfect. In fact, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Christ was not drawn away of his own lust. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust, that magnet on the inside, hath conceived with the enticement, that metal on the outside, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. He never had that magnet of lust on the inside. He never had one inordinate passion on the inside, no perverted covetousness on the inside. Now, that temptation, yes, enticement on the outside, no temptation on the inside. He was not tempted. He did not waver. It was a time of temptation on the outside. It was not a time of enticement, a struggle on the inside. It reminds me why this was put here of, I thought about getting a Jeep Grand Cherokee, I've heard a lot about them. I've reviewed them. I've heard testimonies on them. And if I was to take a ride on Brent Lane and then a ride on Pensacola Boulevard after stopping for coffee on the right-hand side, and then taking a ride on Pensacola Boulevard, on the left-hand side would be Hill, Kelly, Chrysler, Plymouth, Dodge, Jeep. Chrysler, Plymouth, Dodge, Jeep. I've reviewed them. I've heard testimonies about them. I started to check it out, try to get more information on. I step onto that dealership, and I look in the window. I'm looking at all the facts on that window of that Jeep. And Joe Kelly, as he comes out that door, and he spots a fish that he wants to hook. Joe Kelly, in his mind, is thinking to himself, "How can I get this guy in a Jeep? He may even say to me, "Boy, how can we get you in a Jeep?" And so, like many do now, he'll toss me the keys and say, "Take it for a ride, take it home, put it through its paces. Hey, take it off-roading, be hard on it, do what you would normally do with it." Boy, he's not trying to see if it'll break down. He's not trying to do it in. He's trying to show it off. There's no question in him whether that Jeep would endure, whether that Jeep would make it. He knows the history, the reliability of that. He wants me to know. And so he's not trying to do it in. He's trying to show it off. And so again, the question, Why is this event, when none of us wonder about the impeccability, the purity, the absolute holiness, yes, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin? I guess number one, just by way of introduction, it's here to show us that temptation is inevitable. It's inevitable. Boy, if Christ was tempted, or at least went through that time of temptation, no less on the inside, but that time of temptation on the outside, if Christ was tempted, we'll have to go through that temptation also, because there's no temptation but such as is common to man. And so the prudent man foreseeth the evil, realizes that it's part of the Christian life. I need to be ready to overcome those temptations. And the first reason why this is here is to show us that all of us are going to go through those times. But where Christ had no sinful lust on the inside, all too often we struggle with those youthful lusts. And so number one, it's here because temptation is inevitable. Put down number two, it's here to show us also that temptation is spiritual. It's spiritual. By that I mean, just being tempted on the outside is not unspiritual. It's when you give into that temptation. Boy, just because there's a lure on the outside, lust when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Just because there's an enticement, a temptation on the outside, does not mean there's sin. There's sin. In fact, Jesus being led of the Holy Spirit went through that time. It's spiritual. Jesus, who was full of the Holy Ghost, went through that time. It's spiritual. Jesus, who did always those things that pleased the Father, went through that time. It's not only inevitable, the fact that we'll face them, we'll have to walk through them, but then also it's spiritual in the fact that, well, you can be as close to God, walking with God, and uninterrupted, praying without ceasing, but temptation will still take place. Does anybody believe that? Number one, it's to show us it's inevitable. Number two, it's to show us that it's spiritual. And then quickly, number three, it's to show us that it's critical. Critical. Whether we stand tall or give in, fall flat, whether we conquer or collapse, it's critical. And I can't imagine, can you imagine? I can't imagine if Christ would have fallen to this temptation. In fact, we can't imagine because he never could. He never did sin. He never has sinned. He never would sin. He never did sin. He never had sinned. He never would sin. And so we can't imagine if he would have given into this. He's perfectly pure. He's blameless. He's spotless. He's absolutely holy. But there's another person, Joseph, an Old Testament type of Jesus. What if he gave in? What if he succumbed to that temptation? His brothers betrayed him. They ended up selling him after they changed their mind about killing him. They sold him. And then when he started to be established, Joseph had the boss's wife falsely accuse him. The boss ended up imprisoning him, forgotten about for 14 years. Can you imagine if Joseph would have given into that, how critical that would have been? Getting bitter at his brothers, having vengeance towards his brothers, claiming victim status. In that time where he's all by himself, away from his country, giving into that temptation of the boss's wife, becoming an incapable, I can't do this. He would never have become vice president, prime minister of all of Egypt, never would have stockpiled that food for especially the nation of Israel, and God's people would have died. He was sent to save much people alive. He had that spirit, the Lord with him. Boy, he walked with God. If he would have collapsed, boy, how critical would that have been? And so why is this here? Led of the Spirit to be tempted. Led of the Spirit to be tempted. Not tempted by God, but in that arena of there's no lust on the inside. There was only a lure. There was enticement on the outside. The why is it here? I think number four, and here's the sermon, to show us that temptation is navigable. It's navigable. We can navigate it. We can get through it. I don't think we can ever eliminate those temptations. Christ had them. Christ had to face them. Christ, without a doubt, overcame every one of them, tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. But we'll never totally eliminate them, but we can navigate them. We can navigate them. And by the way, in my opinion, the answer isn't eliminating every one of them. Adam and Eve only had one enticement. And they fell flat. One enticement, Adam and Eve, and they fell flat. But understand, they're navigable. It's like walking through a minefield with landmines that are there. Yes, we can reduce them. We can reduce them. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. We can reduce them, but we cannot eliminate them. And so two ways, in my opinion, that we can navigate them, and I want you to just think about this. Number one, there's a person we can lean on, and there's principles we can learn from. Two ways. Two ways to navigate them. Now, understand, it's critical. Boy, how many pastors have collapsed? How many ministerial students have gone by the wayside? You did run well. Who did hinder you? And how many people have wrecked and ruined their life? It's destructive. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so those temptations, though inevitable and spiritual and definitely critical, they're absolutely navigable. First, there's a person we can lean on. There's a person we can lean on. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. There's a person we can lean on. Tempted in every way. It didn't falter, didn't buckle, didn't acquiesce, didn't collapse, didn't give in, didn't sin. He's the person that we can lean on. In fact, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. There's a person we can lean on that stood tall, that soared high. And understand, this passage didn't take place to see if he would fall, but to show us he is that solid rock. Didn't see whether he would give in, whether he would be tempted to sin, but to show us he is the one, the Holy One, the life of Christ lived through us, leaning heavily upon the Lord Jesus Christ. By the Spirit, the salesman, it wasn't to do it in, it was to show it off so that he wanted to get me in a Jeep. God shows us this to show him off because we need to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, the Union Pacific Railroad was constructing the first elaborate trestle bridge over this deep cavern right outside of town. Now, the problem was that deep cavern, the first trestle elaborate bridge, that caused the ridership of that rail to plummet. No one wanted to be the first one across. They were scared to death about that. And so Union Pacific had a brilliant plan. They decided that they're going to have a picnic and they're going to have games and they're going to have three-legged races and horseshoes and provide and fund and all the food they could eat. And so they invited the whole town just outside of town, with the backdrop as they're eating, as they're running, as they're playing that trestle bridge behind them. And so here they are just playing games and having fun and eating and picnicking. And without any fanfare, any announcement, they had a train that was overloaded, doubly loaded, way more than it ever would be loaded. That train just started to slowly cross that trestle bridge. And it would stop. And they're still playing, they're still picnicking, they're still fellowshipping. And then that train would reverse and go back across that trestle bridge again. And one or two people started to notice, and they're looking. They're starting to watch a little bit, less running and more watching, less eating and more watching. And then finally, that train that was overloaded, doubly loaded, more than it would ever be loaded, stopped in the middle of that trestle bridge. And as all were watching, someone said, "Are you trying to break that bridge? Are you trying to break that bridge?" And one of the engineers said, "No, we're trying to show that bridge will never break." We're trying to show, boy, it's not about seeing if it would break, but showing us that it'll never break. Hey, they knew the quality. They knew the reliability. They'd already crunched the number. They already constructed that the way it was. It wasn't to see if it would break. It was to show us that it would never break. And so there's a person we can lean on. There's a person we can lean on, and greater is he that is in you, Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Quickly, put down number two. There's principles we can learn from. I love the fact that he was tempted in all points, like as we, with all that is in the world. He was tempted in all points, like as we, with all that is in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. He was tempted in all points, like as we, with all that is in the world. We mentioned the first Adam and Eve. The first Adam, I love the connection between the first Adam and the last Adam. The Lord Jesus Christ tempted in all points, first, the lust of the flesh. Being 40 days, verse 2, tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Hit him where he lived. Lust of the flesh. And Jesus answered, verse 4, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That trifecta of temptation, tempted in all points with all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, command this stone, be made bread. Lust of the eyes, lust of the eyes, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Lust of the flesh, stone's bread, said, it is written. Lust of the eyes, all the kingdoms, all the world, and all their glory, just bow down. And Jesus answered, verse 8, and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, there it is again, it is written, there it is again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The trifecta of temptation, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle, the highest point of the temple, the holiest place. He was tempted in the highest point of the holiest place, and I do think there's a danger in Bible college to let down your guard. But as you're going to Bible class and chapel and hearing preaching and walking with other believers, teachers that are godly great examples, we let down our guard when we're at the highest point of the holiest place, and that's where he's tempted here. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, attacking his identity, who he is, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, here he is, he's misquoting, he's misappropriating a word, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone, the pride of life. Lust of the flesh, pleasure. Lust of the eyes, possessions. Pride of life, that pride. That trifecta of temptation, he was hit with all of them, all three of them, and he passed and soared past, conquered every one of them. And Jesus, verse 12, answering, said unto him, first two times it was, it is written, it is written, it is written. And Jesus answering, said unto him, it is written, it is written, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was tempted in all points like as we. Every single temptation we'll ever face, we'll ever have to navigate, every single one of them. He was tempted in all points like as we, with all that is in the world. It's interesting to me that the first Adam and Eve, boy, faced and fell to the exact same temptation. In fact, Genesis chapter 2, when the Lord planted a garden, put man that he had formed, out of the ground he grew every tree, pleasant to the eyes, good for food, every tree. In fact, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of that one thou shalt not. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said to the woman, yea, hath God said? Yea, hath God said? Boy, the last Adam conquered by concentrating on the word of God. The first Adam collapsed questioning the word of God. Look at the straw man, or hear the straw man that he built. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Boy, Eve should have just corrected that and said, I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in his word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. But she took the bait. She took the bait. Yea, hath God said, every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, comma, rather than period. Ye shall not eat of it, comma, rather than period. She should have stopped there. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. God never said that. And by the way, I don't think that personal preference is a bad thing. I don't think adding a layer of a rule is a bad thing. Hey, I'm not supposed to eat of it. That's what God said. As far as taking it and turning it into finger paints, you could do that. You could play catch with it. You could juggle it. You could do anything. You could touch it. But she added a personal preference or a tradition of men. Whether she did or Adam did, God talked to Adam. Maybe he said, well, that danger, I love her so much, that danger. But I want to just add one more rule. And that's not a bad thing, as long as we're clear to define the biblical, the unbiblical, and the extra-biblical. The biblical and the unbiblical and the extra-biblical. But because she didn't clearly define that, she ended up just saying, God said, don't eat it. God said, don't even touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Questioning God's word. Misappropriating, contradicting, correcting God's word, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was, here it is, good for food, trifecta of temptation, good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and pleasant to the eyes, that's number two, the lust of the eyes, good for food, lust of the flesh, and then it was pleasant to the eyes, that's number two, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, temptation number three, pride of life. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat, and a catastrophe, a horror. That engagement, lust hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Boy, kicked out of the garden, everything changed. But what I love is where the last Adam soared high over every one of those, the first Adam fell flat. The lust of the flesh, good for food, command this stone that it be made bread. Lust of the eyes, pleasant to the eyes, all the kingdoms of all the world and all the glory of them. Pride of life, it's good to make one wise, the pride of life, if thou be the Son of God. And where Adam and Eve fell flat, that trifecta of temptation, tempted with all that is in the world, I love the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ soared high. He overcame every area in temptation where we fell flat to show us he's the answer for every deficiency that we have. He conquered every area of temptation in every area where we fell flat to show us he's the answer to every struggle that we have. You see, there are principles to learn from. In fact, I think if you're besetting sin, you need to memorize and take with you verses that speak to your besetting sin. If lust is your besetting sin, thou shalt not covet when that enticement is there. Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery within her heart already. That verse, to combat that. There's principles to learn from. If it's cheating, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Thou shalt not bear false witness, whatever that temptation is, whatever that besetting sin is. If it's criticism, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Speak evil of no man. If it's bitterness and vengefulness, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. Hey, there's principles we can learn from that besetting sin, memorizing verses so we have ammunition to fight again. But the principles we learn from are only as good as they drive us to the person that we lean on. Christianity is not about tab A, slot B. These steps, these four keys, do these six things. Boy, we end up having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. It's not just educationally. It's not just informationally. It's only transformationally when those principles we learn from drive us to the person that we lean on. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, the Christ life lived through us. In the world ye shall have temptation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, because he was tempted in all points, like as we, with all that is in the world, that tie, first Adam, that tie, second Adam, last Adam, he conquered by concentrating on the word of God. And if we think that it's all about having a little more character or being a little stronger or a little more willpower, it's not about willpower, it's about God's power. Where the best place we'll ever get is to the point where we realize we can't do this on our own. But we can't overcome by ourselves. It's not just about memorizing a few more words, though you have to have that, for it's the spirit that giveth life, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I say unto you, they are spirit, they are life, but it has to drive us to leaning heavily upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, why is this passage here? It's not to see whether he would fall. It's to show us that he never will fall. The impeccability of Christ, there was no lust. Every man is tempted. When he is drawn away of his own lust, he wasn't drawn away of his lust. He was led of the Spirit, not to see, but to show he's the person that we need to lean on. Hey, take the keys. Take it for a test drive. If you're still kicking the tires trying to figure it out, that salesman knows that Jeep will never break down. He wants to show us, boy, how can I get you in a Jeep? How can I get you in that Jeep? How can I convince you that leaning heavily upon, if any man be in Christ, in Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, envelop Christ in us, we're in Christ. Christ in us, we're in Christ. Boy, when you're in that rail car going over that trestle bridge that you were so nervous about, boy, they didn't have that to see. They had that to show. We're all going to face temptations. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Boy, it's a minefield that all of us have to walk through. But very practically, two of the best ways to walk through it is principles we can learn from. But get 3x5 cards. Put pictures on your phone of verses that speak directly to that besetting sin that you struggle with. By verses that are right there in that pocket. But it's not just about quoting a verse, quoting some words. By the principles we learn from need to drive us to the law as our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because Christianity is all about a person we can lean on. Or as Pastor Butler said, sirs, we would see Jesus, drawing close and walking heart in heart, hand in hand, with the one who never wavered, the one who never wobbled. His life through us, he's the one that we build our life upon.
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College. empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.